I have exciting news, folks. Our fourth annual Toy Photographers Meetup is just around the corner. Join me, Shelley Corbett, Brett Wilson, and other photographers from around the world on Memorial Day weekend, May 25th to 28th. You can find all of the details and the sign-up link on our website, toyphotographers.com. I can't wait to see you guys there. You're listening to the Toy Photographers Podcast, the official podcast of toyphotographers.com. I'm James Garcia, and on this show, I talk to photographers around the world who are turning Lego, action figures, miniatures, custom creations, and more into amazing works of art. I'm really excited about this week's show because I talked to French photographer Corinne Linder, who you may recognize as Eat My Bones. Corinne's photography subjects of choice are called pose skeletons from a Japanese company called Rement. She started shooting skeletons as a way to add flair to her travel photos, but ended up creating a whole universe for them to live and play in. She sees her subjects as a family unit composed of a mother and father, Edgar and Rebecca, and their son, Peter. They even have skeleton pets. So what is it about skeletons that intrigues Corinne so much? Let's find out. Let's start with, how did you first get into photography?
Yes, okay. I started not a long time ago. I started, in fact, with my ex-boyfriend who had the camera. He has a Reflex by Nikon. So at the beginning, it was only to take a nice picture. So when we traveled abroad or in France, I borrowed his camera to shoot. And I like it because it took some pretty picture more than with the smartphone. And I tried to start with the manual mode, so I played a little bit with. But it was, really simple touristic picture, so not special stuff, no photographic eyes or something like that. And then we broke up with my ex-boyfriend, of course. And so I was left without a camera. I had no Reflex. I had only my poor smartphone. So I was sad for two reasons. And then 1 year after, I remember it was at the springtime, and I really miss taking picture. So I decide myself and I bought a brand new Reflex. So I own a Nikon for the moment. I start learning how to really use the manual mode and I like it. But it was like 2 years ago because it was in 2016. So it's not a long time ago. And taking picture was nice. Landscape and cities, it's nice, but it missed something fun on it. And then I remember that I had two little skeletons in a drawer. So I put them out and it's my toy photography adventure started at this moment.
Yeah, and I guess a beautiful friendship was born then with you and those skeletons.
Yes.
Yeah, you mentioned on your blog that you first found one of those on a trip to Japan. Can you talk about that a little bit? What caught your eye with those? Were you always into toys or is it just those skeletons?
So I spent 2 weeks in Japan in 2014. I was not into toys, not really. I love the geek culture, but I don't collect toys. I only have, for example, a Totoro figurine, but it's old. It's not so. Japan is a really exciting country. It's beautiful, and we spent some time in a toys shop. So it was only toys from the floor to the ceiling, on like four stairs. So it's huge over there. We saw a lot of toys. Nothing interests me in particular. And then I freeze because I saw those little skeletons. Mm-hmm. And they were one of the grown-up skeleton and the dog. I really thought, oh my God, it's so cute. And it's so funny because it's small, it's thin. It's not the small, big, fat toys you can find now everywhere. And you can move it so easily. So immediately you think about, where you gonna put this skeleton and what play you can do with it. It's really funny. So yeah, I bought the man and the dog, but I didn't have any idea of what I will do. I'm on a trip at the other side of the world. I want to spend my money. So let's take home two skeletons.
Yeah.
So when I came back in France, I bring the skeleton at work to show them to my colleague, and then I put them in a drawer, and they spend like 2 years in the drawer, sadly, before I put them out. But yeah, that's the story of our first meeting.
That's awesome. I've definitely had similar experiences where I'm traveling somewhere and I see something and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this, but I really like it, so I just want to buy it.
Yes. And sometimes it's a good idea.
Yeah, sometimes it's not, but sometimes it leads to something pretty cool. Since then, you've grown your skeleton collection. You not only have the one guy and the dog, but you have a little family unit with a couple pets. How did you start incorporating all of those into your photos?
So I start to take a picture with only the man skeleton, Edgar, who is the biggest. So it's 9 centimeters tall. And the little dog, it was really funny. So I know that there were some accessories and I guess at this time already another skeletons. So I did some research on the internet and I found the Japanese website of the brand, all in Japanese, so it was really difficult to find information. But I saw pictures, so I saw that there were several other skeletons, and I found them on eBay. And the first package I received from Japan, the box were wrapped with Japanese newspaper, and that was really, really nice to unboxing the package and say, oh, I can't read, but it's beautiful. So I quickly bought Rebecca, the woman, and the little child, and then they released the cat last year. So it was super exciting. So I stick to this configuration. The brand released a more grown-up skeleton with color. So you have a blue skeleton, a yellow skeleton, orange skeleton. But it's not, it's funny, but it's not in my, in my family constriction. Mm-hmm. So I want all my skeletons to be white because bones is white, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I stick to this family. They released Teenager. It's a girl, but it's a little bit pink. It's not all pink, but it's a little bit pink. So I bought her, but I don't know if I put her in the family or not. It's a big question. Maybe this year I will have the answer. I gave some names to this family, and I start with an Instagram account in June, and 2 months after, I thought that Instagram was a little bit, how can I say, it was not, I don't have enough space on Instagram. It was nice. It's media that I love, but I needed a place for me, for my skeleton family on internet. So I create the blog 2 months later, and it's at this moment that when I was writing the about page, you know, hi, I'm Karine, and here is my blog page. And I say, okay, I have to give them some name because they are particular and they have some particular ID. They like to do stuff not every skeleton like to do.
I love that you gave them each individual personalities and individual stories. It really carries through with your photos, where I'll see a picture and then see another one a couple weeks later and know, like, oh, this is one of Karine's photos and this is Edgar and his family. You know, I think it's really cool and it adds a really fun element to your photography.
Thank you.
Yeah. Over time, I noticed that, you know, when you first started, it was simple, just skeletons on locations with you traveling. And then over time, you got more complex with your setups. You added more accessories and like little living room setups and stuff. Do you make some of that stuff yourself, or where do you get some of that stuff?
Yeah. Okay. Of course, at the beginning, I had only the main skeletons and the dog. So it was I had to take picture outdoor without scene. And when I bought Rebecca and Peter, I saw also that the brand released some accessories, some sets for the skeleton. And that's really nice because it's a good size. They have a particular size, the skeleton. It's not easy to find accessories from other brand. I can't use Lego, it's too small. Playmobil is too small, Barbie it's too tall. And also the miniature stuff that are not toys, but it's too big too. So it's difficult to find accessories. So I bought some few sets from the brand. I don't have used all of them for the moment. I still have some stock. I spare some accessories for a brilliant idea. But yeah, so they didn't have a couch, for example. So I decided to try to do it on my own. And when I was a kid, I loved to do manual stuff. So I tried when I was younger to do some miniature stuff. Yeah, I took my couch. It was an IKEA couch, so my real couch. I took the measure on the IKEA website, and I do the good size for my skeletons, so they have exactly the same couch as me.
I love that. That's awesome.
But it took me, yeah, one evening, a whole evening to make this sketch because it's the skeleton are really, really small. I tried to sew them some clothes too recently. So Rebecca has a dress and Edgar has a pants and a jacket.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that because, yeah, those clothes are so awesome and so perfectly sized.
Thank you. Yeah, it's homemade. But I never sewed before, so it was really complicated. I don't know if I will do it again, you know. Maybe they will stick with the one pair of pants for their whole afterlife.
Yeah, that makes sense, you know. You go through so many pants in normal life that when you're dead, you just decide to stick with one. It's just easier
yes,
that way.
Yes. That's perfect.
Yeah.
And I also use a lot of paper. It's really easy. For example, I've made last year a Halloween's costume for them. And I only cut some paper, paint it with felt pen in black, in other color. And on the picture, it's look nice. But I didn't thought it will look so nice on the picture, just a piece of paper. So it's really funny to make stuff for the skeleton. I don't have enough time to do more, but sometime I like it.
So you seem to do a lot of traveling and you bring your toys with you. Do you find taking your toys traveling challenging or is that part of the fun? We've talked a bit about that on our website, but I'd love to hear your experience with traveling with your toys.
Yes, it's for me, it's totally part of the fun because when I start to do the toy photography, the first weekend we went to climb on the mountain. So I took the skeleton and I think it was the second time I took picture with my skeleton. And then in July of the same year, we went to Iceland 2 weeks and in Sweden 2 weeks. And I took so much fun taking picture of them in different places, beautiful places to play, to make him sit or stand or showing something. And it's really nice because it adds something to the picture. If I don't bring my skeletons with me, I will only do some touristic picture. Okay, my picture will be beautiful. If I go traveling without my skeleton, I will come back with the same picture as everyone. Okay, my colleague went to Iceland. Yeah, we can compare our picture, but it will all be the same. Mm-hmm. And so the skeleton, it's my traveling picture is immediately special because there is a skeleton on it. So it's it's definitely part of the fun, but not really for my friends when they have to wait for me because a skeleton won't stand on the rock. And I try to put it there for the 10th time.
But yeah, I love that because it does make your photos really unique, you know, your travel photos, because
Yeah.
When I first started in photography, I didn't want to do basic landscapes and stuff because that's what everybody else was doing, and I just didn't feel like they were very special. So it sounds like you kind of had the same idea.
Yes, absolutely. I'm lucky because my boyfriend is taking picture too, but without toy, and he arrived to have a real photographic eye. His picture is not as everybody else's picture, so it's fun because we have also friends who are traveling a lot with us who love to take picture. So we are like four people. We all do picture. We're all shooting the same area, and at the end we have four completely different picture.
Mm.
That is really nice to compare, to see the artistic sense or the emotion. I guess we have all different emotion when we are in the same place.
Shifting gears a little bit, you've participated a lot in the last year or so in a bunch of challenges. I noticed on your social media feed, like the Dogwood Challenge and the Stuck in Plastic Challenge this year.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about why you do it, and do you find them helpful for your photography?
Yes, it's helpful for me because it's pushed me to shoot more, because without the challenge, I said, okay, I will schedule some posts on my blog. This week it will be nice to take this picture, and next week this picture. And, you know, life and work and friends and, oops, I didn't shoot this week.
Yeah.
And so no blog post. Okay. So I said that at the beginning of the year, I saw this two challenge, and I said, okay, Karine, this year you have to do something more with your blog. You have to post more and to challenge yourself. Both challenges are really nice because one is more technical, and the Stuck in Plastic is more on one word. And so it pushed me to imagine a composition, to search what can I do. And so it's really nice. But as you can see, I don't know, maybe you don't have seen my blog last week. Zero posts. Zero. Yeah, I was in Paris and I had a lot of stuff to do. So I did some shooting, but not for the challenge. What I love also about challenge is that you can see at the end of the week all the picture of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
This is really nice because you can see that, for example, on the Stuck in Plastic challenge, you have one word like emotion, and I did the fear. Someone did the joyful, the sadness, and so on. So it with different composition. So that's really nice. And what I like a lot also that I've discovered last week is your one day of the week, one hashtag, if I can say.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly the Friday hashtag with the no, only accessorize. I don't remember the hashtag name.
Yeah, but... No Figure Friday.
Yes. And I think it's really nice because I guess all the toy photographer has a lot of accessories, and what the picture has really are really really nice on Google Plus. I saw it's so I think I have to do something also.
Yeah, I think that'd be awesome. Yeah, for our listeners that may not know, the Toy Photographers community over on G+, and we stretch this over to Instagram and Facebook and stuff as well, but we try to encourage people to use community hashtags. So we have like Mechanoid Monday for, you know, post like some kind of robot picture on Mondays, Toy Dino Tuesday to use some kind of dinosaur. I'm sure you could find an awesome dinosaur skeleton. That would be really cool.
There are four dinosaurs.
Oh.
But I didn't buy them for the moment. But yeah, good idea.
Yeah, and then we have, like you mentioned, No Figure Friday is to shoot without showing the main subject, maybe focus on an accessory or something instead. And then Toy Day is Pun Day, as we do puns on Sundays. So just for our listeners that may not know, we really encourage you guys to join in on that because, like you mentioned, it's a way to open up your mind a little bit and think of your photography differently or plan some shots or just kind of get your creative juices going.
Yes. And basically the No Figure Friday, it's if you try to build a universe with the toys, like I tried to do with my skeleton, the accessories are not so important as the skeleton, but it's a part of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's a really, really nice idea.
Speaking of the toy photography community, how did you first come across the toy? Because it doesn't sound like you were super interested in toy photography, and that's why you started. You kind of started because of the skeletons and then found the toy community, is that right?
Yes, that's completely right. I start quite alone on my side. Of course, I have seen a picture of toy photography before I start, because there are quite some famous people who are doing this. I remember, of course, Lego. You can come across Lego photography even if you are not a toy photographer, because you like the geek culture and the Star Wars. And but I also came across picture of the Dan board. I don't know if you see. It's a Japanese toy too. All his body is made of cardboard, and it's really simple, but he is really expressive. I said he, I'm sorry, I say he for everybody and every stuff, but it's my English and my way to bring my skeleton to life, we can say. But and Dan Board, I saw picture, more complex picture with situation, and Dan Board played a mother with her children and so on. So I say, oh my God, it's beautiful. So it was my first touch with the toy photography. Then I start by my own with my Instagram account. And so at the beginning, I was looking a lot for other people who were doing the same thing as me. So I have a lot of Japanese, Korean and Asiatic account on Instagram who are doing skeletons. So for the beginning, for a long time, I stay like this with my Instagram and with following only people with skeletons. And then 1 year after, I look on internet to see if there were blogs about toy photography more. And so I came across the Toy Photographer, so your blog, and Stuck in Plastic. So I start to read both blog often, like 6 months ago.
Hmm.
So it's new, and I joined Google Plus, I guess, at the end of next year, as a new good resolution for this year. And I think there is more interaction, because on Instagram I have a lot of like, I like a lot of picture, but it's, for me, it's really quick. You see the picture, okay, but you don't read the text under, and it's a fast social media,
yeah,
I think.
Absolutely.
And now we have our, I remember, I think it was a post on your blog about how Instagram was going so bad with all the ads and the new way of showing picture. It's really, really, really frustrating. I love so much Instagram before, and now I'm stick to it because for me it's important. I have a lot of followers, and the skeleton community, if I can say, is really on Instagram. So I have to stick to it, but I don't like it anymore. It's it's like a divorce, you know.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way, where I'll still post on there because mostly out of habit, and also like, well, I do have some followers on here, so I might as well, you know. But
yeah,
if you're definitely looking for more community interaction or reading full posts and stuff like that, either checking out the blogs or the G+ community is definitely a good way to go.
Yeah, I think it's why I joined it, because I am on Flickr too, but it's there is not a lot of interaction there. Facebook, zero, is only 2 posts, so my friends can know that there is a new article on the way. I like the G+ community. It's really, really nice. You see that there are interaction between people. It's always a little bit complicated to comment a picture when I don't know the people. But it will come little bit by little bit, I guess.
Yeah.
And last week, I had the chance to meet two of the members of the Stuck in Plastic crew.
Oh, awesome.
They were in Paris, for an exhibition about Lego. And so I was in Paris for a week for the work this week. So I say, okay, I will stay a little bit and try to contact them so we can meet. I was impressed at how they are so nice, you know. It was really simple. I said, okay, I thought at the beginning I will have to speak to them. What can I say? I will be shy. Or your two blogs are the mastodont of, I don't know if it's an English name, this. You are the dinosaur of the internet. You know, it's for me, in my case, of course. And the fact that you discover that people are just like me, or just fond of toy, and they are happy to meet other people that are fond of toys, photography, this is really, really, really nice.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, because you're the first French photographer I've interviewed, I was going to ask if you had met anybody, or if there was kind of an in-person community where you are, or if you had sought that out at all. So I'm glad that you did run into some people in Paris.
Yes.
I know that for the Toy Photographers blog, we're doing a meetup here in the United States in May.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're going to try throughout the year to do more across the world, some in Europe and you know, another one in Australia. So we're really going to try to include more national reach there so that we can get people like you who probably can't come to America, but would want to meet up and do photography in person.
Yeah, that is really nice. I think that the concept is so cool because, once you meet the people for real, the relationship will be completely different.
Mm-hmm.
You're not two people in front of your computer. You have lunch together, you have love, you have, I think it's really important. I saw that you have planned a meetup. Yeah, but it's a little bit far away from me.
yeah, a little bit.
But definitely in Europe, this is possible for a weekend. It's small Europe, you know, mm-hmm. compared to your country.
The last question I had for you was, do you have any big plans or creative goals for 2018? You mentioned that your big resolution was to get on Google Plus and get into the community more. Do you have anything else that you're really striving for this year?
Yes, I definitely need to spend more time on the blog because last year my time for the blog was only to shoot picture, develop the picture and post it. And I know that to have interaction, you need to spend time on the Google Plus. But my creative goal, I can do a small exhibition with my work. But it's scary because I'm not a professional. I'm an amateur, I guess to go somewhere and say, "Hey guys, do you want to?" Have my picture on your wall. You have to have a little bit of confidence in yourself, as I don't have. But I can imagine doing something really small in my town, only for my friend and family. But I think it's important to print our photography. I don't know if you have already done this, I guess. Yes. But it will be a big step for me if I succeed in doing that.
Your photos are so beautiful and so unique. I think that you won't have any trouble getting people excited about them.
Thank you. What I can dream about, because now we are living in a flat, in a little flat, and we are looking for a house right now. It's my private life, but so you know. And I really wish I can have a place for my studio, if I can say.
Yeah.
My photography studio. Me, I try to do scene, but so I have to mess all half of the living room for 3 days. So it's kind of complicated. If I have to shoot quickly, I can't. And I really wish I can one day have a space dedicated to the toy photography where I can arrange the space the way I want and the way it's comfortable to take a picture and to have maybe a dollhouse but in a different space. Mm-hmm. So I can have always the same living room because sometimes I change the paper, the background paper. So it's, yeah, you know it's a living room, but it can change arrangement from one picture to another. So it can be cool to have the different space. I have all that I need to create a little bathroom for the skeletons, but I never use it because my bathroom is not so nice. So I say, okay, maybe I have to create it as a miniature universe. But yeah, that's the dream, the current dream.
Yeah.
And we will have a house with a garden because we want a big, big garden. And when we were in Iceland 2 years ago, we visit a museum with old house, old-fashioned, typical, traditional houses from Iceland. And on a small part of the garden, there were some small house, little house like for the people of the wood, you know, because out there they have mythology like this. I don't know the name in English, but yeah, people of the wood.
Yeah, like fairies, I guess, would be English or something similar to that.
Yes, similar to that, yes. And so I took picture with my skeleton, but the houses were a little bit too big for the skeleton. And so I said, okay, maybe if I have a garden, I can build a little small house in the garden for the skeleton with, so they can have a garden.
Ooh, you know? Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. So it's nice with toy photography because you have always so full of ideas. Every time I go on a shop, I always try to see if I can have something new for my skeleton that would fit the good size and yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah, it is. Every time I go to like the grocery store, even I look at things, I'm like, ooh, this might be a good background or this might be good for dirt or, you know, I look at food or cutting boards or whatever it might be, you know, just weird things that might look good next to a minifigure or an action figure or something.
Yes, it's part of the fun because it's not only when you have your camera that you are a toy photographer. It's every day, every time, even when you sleep, sometimes I will wake up and say, oh my God, I have to shoot this.
Yeah.
So it's for life.
Where can people find your work online?
So you can find my blog on www.itmybones.com. And you have you can find me also in Instagram, Flickr, Facebook, and Google+. At the same name.
Awesome. Where did that name come from, Eat My Bones? Was it just, it sounded cool, or what was that?
Yeah, it sounded cool. Well, I love that the name is a little bit violent. If I tell you Eat My Bone without the picture, it's a little bit violent. You can guess it's a horror movie or something like this. And then you have the surprise to see a little smiling skeletons. So I like the contrast.
Thank you so much for listening. Before we wrap up, I do have one quick update from Corinne that I wanted to share with you guys. That dream house that she was talking about? She and her boyfriend found it and will be moving in and setting up her photo studio in June. Congratulations, Corinne. I can't wait to see what kind of photos you take. You can find new episodes of this podcast and daily articles on creativity and toy photography on our website, toyphotographers.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. We also ask that you please leave us a 5-star review. That'll help spread the word about the show and help us get noticed. You can find us on Facebook at Toy Photographers and on Instagram at @ToyPhotographers_. Music for this week's episode is courtesy of freemusicarchive.org. And finally, you can reach out to us with comments, concerns, recommendations, etc. at toyphotographypod@gmail.com. I'm James Garcia. You can find my work every single week at toyphotographers.com, as well as on Twitter at TheRealJames, real spelled R-E-E-L, on Instagram at TheRealJames23, and on my website, TheRealJames.com. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you guys next week.